There we go. Now we're ready. I broke that one. It'd be all right. We talked about what comes in your life. Things happen, and you know, what's first in your life? You know, what's first in your life? Then you ask yourself, what's the center of your life? You know, what's the center? And then you got to figure out what influences your life the most. You know, and you know, there's some that say, well, spouses. My wife's everything. You know, she's. I do anything for her. She's, you know, I want to do everything for her. Some will say kids, and you hear people say they're my whole life. You know, they're my number one. They're my kids. I would do anything for them. They're what I live for. Some would say parents. You know, some would say work. You know, I'm married to my job. You know, my work's my priority. I don't have time for anything else. You know, work's. What I have to do to do other things that I want to do. Some will say, well, fun. I just want to have fun. There's a song, girls just want to have fun. But there's plenty of guys that just want to have fun. That's what they're for. That's number one. What I want to do, I just want to have fun, do the things I want to do, whatever I want, whenever I want. Of course, we should always have God first in our life. And I know everybody here knows that. But, you know, first in our life's one thing. You know, part of our life's another. And sometimes we're relegating to a part of our life. You know, we're just over here, it's okay, or over here, it's okay. But the rest of the time, it's back to me and what I want to do. And, you know, me, myself, and I take up the rest of the portion. But it should also be the center of our life. And I think the center of our life's even different from being first in our life. If you look up first, it's good. It says preceding all or all others in time, order, and importance. And we should put God first. He should be first of importance in our life. He should be first in our time and in our order. He should be the first one we go to and with problems that we have, with things that come up in life. He should be the first one we go to with praises for the good things that happen in our life. You know, he should be first. You know, first is nice in races. Paul always talks about a race. You want to finish first. Paul just talks about finishing the race. You don't have to be first, but you want to finish the race. And, you know, first in races and contests denotes you win. But now there's, you know, they're changing that a little bit. Now there's in racing, you know, now there's podium wins. You know, if you're in the top three, you're a winner. You're on the podium. That denotes you finished and you're a winner. Kind of the same thing with the Olympics. You know, you get a gold, silver, bronze. There's a winner, but everybody, you know, gets one there. So, but just finishing the race can be a victory over obstacles from some people running the race. You know, it doesn't have to be first for people, but finishing means a lot to those that maybe ran that race. But first is nice, but center, I think, is better. Center, if you look that up, you know, a point, area, a person, or a thing that is most important or pivotal in relation to an indicated activity, interest, or condition. Now, let's break it down. I'm going to break it down into today. We're going to say, well, being centered is a person that is the most important, but it's also pivotal in the relation to our condition. And I think that fits where God's at. That fits where Jesus is at. He is the most important. He is the most pivotal relationship we have because it affects our condition. You know, who we are, who we are. It's also to give central focus. Our focus needs to be on Him. A source for which something originates. Holy Spirit comes from Him. Salvation comes from Him. Redemption comes from Him. He is the source. He is the person. But that relationship changes our condition. And to win, we have to be centered. You know, there's also games you have to be centered to win. You got darts. You got shooting contests where you gotta hit the bullseye. You know, you gotta hit the center. You know, out here, you might get some points, but it really adds up when you hit the center. That's unbeatable when you hit the center. You know, you gotta hit the center of the target. You know, and sin is where we miss. We miss the target. And you know, even in other sports, you gotta be focused on the center. You know, in basketball, kids, I always kind of tell them, you know, first of all, especially in basketball, you're guarding somebody, okay, and they're watching the kid. What are they looking at? They're looking at his head, mostly. They're looking at his eyes. You know, his eyes are going to go over here, and they're going to move right in that direction. Or maybe they're going, he's going to move there, or maybe even take a step, you know, and then go the other way. You know, there's all kinds of, he's trying to deceive the guy guarding him. So he's going to use all these things. And if you're watching just the eyes or the head or maybe an arm, you may be deceived and go in that direction. I tried to tell him, you know, watch the belly button. The belly button's not going any place they're not going. You know, that's going with them. You know, an arm may go over here. A foot may be slide over here. Their eyes are going to look over here. They may fake a pass, but the belly button doesn't move. He's not going anywhere. So you got to be centered even on your defense and guarding. So, you know, being first lets us have a priority. But then there's a, you know, we have other priorities. And we say it's our first priority. But we have a second and a third and a fourth. But center is always there. And, you know, I had a video sent to me by a sharp young man this week. And, I appreciated getting that video, and it was talking about being centered in God, or putting God first, and I appreciated that. It was a dresser, you know, I think 3 or 4 drawer dresser, and or chest of drawers, as they used to be called, but, you know, it's there. You know, if we put God in the first drawer, that's great. We want God to be first, you know. And we have it in a handy place. It's a place of importance. It's right on top. We can open that first. We don't even have to bend down. It's right there for us. We've got it in that position. It's first. It's right there for us. And we probably put maybe our best stuff in that drawer. But what if we go to the second drawer? You know, if we open that, is God there? We've got God in the first drawer. Is he in the second one? You know, we've got him first. Or is the second one, things in life, maybe we put a little bit more self-reliance in. You know, well, we can do that one. You know, God maybe not needed quite as much there. Then you get into the third drawer, and maybe you go to the bottom drawer. Everybody has a junk drawer, right? That everything gets thrown into. Maybe that's the junk drawer. Just whatever happens to be found, you know, it's not relevant. You might think you don't use it very much, but it goes in the bottom drawer. You know, it's not important, although everyone has one, but it doesn't seem to be what we talk about, you know, or think we use that often. Now then, what if Jesus is in the center of that cabinet? You know, when you open the first drawer, he's there, of course. But when you open the second drawer, hey, he's there too. And the third, and the fourth. You know, every drawer has Christ in it. If he's in the center, not just the top, but in the center. Now, God does a lot of things that happen in the center or the middle. I don't think that's by coincidence. You know, a lot of verses on center or being in the middle. You know, in Ezekiel, God said Jerusalem would be the center of the nations. I think it is, and I think it will be. The tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil were in the middle of the garden. They were in the center. The tabernacle was in the middle of the camps. 12 tribes were around it. The tabernacle, God's seat, was in the middle. Joshua, when he went to the promised land, the priests went into the Jordan. They went to the center of the river. They went to the middle. And much like Moses and the Red Sea, the dry ground appeared. They separated the water for Israel to go over into the promised land, and each tribe carried a stone from the middle, from the center of the river, over to create a memorial to remember, 12 stones to remember what God had done bringing them to the promised land. You know, Joshua was in a battle once, fighting the enemy, asked for more time. It says the sun stood still in the middle of the sky for about a day. It stayed centered till his work for God was done. You know about Gideon, you know, when he was down to 300 men, getting ready to fight thousands, he went in the middle watch. There's three watches, first watch, second watch, third watch. He went in the middle one. He went in the center. Ruth went to Boaz in the middle of the night. First Chronicles, there was a fight. They said they took a stand in the middle of the field and struck down the Philistines. The Lord brought victory. And Ezekiel, he was placed in this valley called the Valley of Dry Bones. So all these bones, you know where it was? In the middle. Placed in the middle of the Valley of Dry Bones. You go along a little farther, Jesus was the man in the middle on the three crosses. Three people crucified. Jesus was in the center. And we know in the middle of the tribulation period, things are going to change. It's a 7-year period, but 3.5 years in the center of that time, things are going to change. The Antichrist is going to show his true self. And things will be a lot different than they were the first 3.5 years. So lots of things happen in the center or in the middle. But all these things happen because God was in the center of their lives. You know, God requires us to have him at the center of our life too. Not just first, but throughout our life. And all the things we do. I'm going to read Colossians chapter 3, verses 11 through 17. Colossians 3, 11 through 17. It says, here there is no Jew, Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Christ is in all. If Christ is all and Christ is in all, then he has to be our center. Not just first, but in all that we do. You know, in God's time and in the Old Testament stuff, the Spirit was called the center of the person. Their center was actually called in the bowels, in the stomach area. You know, some people say, well, your mind's the thing. Your mind's the thing that recognizes and knows things. But, you know, it was in the bowels. It was at the center of the person. We obviously use the heart now, say that the heart is the soul of the person. But it's not just in the head, as you might first think. You know, if you started first, you think, well, it's in the head. It's not. It's in the heart. It's in the center that affects everything. And if we're centered, it shows how we look. You know, in that text, he says, we're clothed with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. If we're centered, that's what we're wearing. We're wearing those attributes of Christ. Everybody likes to, well, maybe not everybody, but a lot of people like to show off their fashion, their clothes. You know, it seems like TV, even basketball players and stuff, they film them coming in to see what they're wearing. I don't care. Get the ball suit on, let's go. But they got to show what they're wearing and things. But, you know, but you're going to show people what you're wearing in Christ. You know, the kindness, compassion, humility. You know, if you're centered, you're going to be wearing those things. Shows us how we interact with others. Talks about forgiveness and love. That's going to be our center. It gives us peace, gives us wisdom, lets us be thankfulness through the knowledge God has given us. That all comes from being centered in Christ. Then being centered, acknowledge that God is in all things. You know, not just the big things. Too often we let little things go, and we don't think He's in those. Those are just circumstances. You know, it lets us see Him in every drawer, not just the top one. You know, even the bottom drawer of junk, or we would call strange circumstances, become God incidences if we see His work even in the smallest details. You know, little things just happen, and most people wouldn't recognize them or say, well, that's just a coincidence, when it's not. You know, remember, and I probably told this before, but we had a dog once. TJ wanted a dog. We didn't have a dog at that time, but of course he was starting to be a senior, I guess, or there was a graduation gift. He said, what do you want? Oh, I want a dog. But we didn't think. Because when you graduate, sometimes you move. But anyways, wanted a dog. Joni was, got him a card, you know, it had a, he said he wanted a Jack Russell Terrier, one black eye. You know, he was specific. Jack Russell Terrier, wanted a black eye, you know, okay. So Joni got him a card, had a dog on it, similar to that, riding on a, of course everybody had the little red tricycles, you know, so had one, he had one, riding on that. Now, Joni's not necessarily an animal person, okay? She won't harm one, but she doesn't literally like to be around them. So she calls me one day. She's, I forget where she was, but she called me and said, I think we're supposed to get TJ a dog. I said, are you sure? Yes, I think we're supposed to get TJ a dog. God's telling me to get, we need to get him a dog. I said, are you sure? She said, yes, I think so. I said, well, I'm not sure where you're going to get one. As descriptive as his is, you know, you go, I say, you can go to the pound, but, you know, they always have big dogs, you know, big, they don't have little Jack Russells and stuff running around generally. So I said, why don't you call, Rosemary, we were up there. Rosemary lived down here, but she helped with the Humane Society. She was big with it. So why don't you call Rosemary and see what they got? Of course, you know, when you call, she says, you know what? People just dropped this cage off a little bit ago. Of course, it was a Jack Russell Terrier. The black guy, black patches on her. So she comes down, looks at the dog, I'm fine, it's good. Of course, let it out of the cage and immediately run to the car. Hopped in, was sitting between the seats like it was supposed to be there. And of course, TJ got his Jack Russell for it. Of course, his name was Jack. But, you know, it seemed like it just the coincidences coming along. It's not. It's what God does just in your everyday life. I give you blessings. And we've used that dog story a lot with kids. They resonate. I tried to find these pictures, but it's on another thing to show you. But especially at the end when you show the picture. God does that a lot. It's not circumstances. It's God working. If you're centered in Him. I told you a lot of stuff about finding things before. It's been a while. Maybe I'll do that again sometime. About things being lost and finding things just, they're not supposed to be there. Or they weren't there before and you find them. You pray about it. He shows them to you. You know, there's parking places. I mean, you name it, things happen every day. You've heard her talk about the quilt book, you know, we're going through at the quilt. She wanted a quilt book, journal. There it is, a journal to go with the quilt. And, of course, you know, the quilt's purple. The quilt has quilting on it and you know, it's to share God and stuff. And, you know, we're, you know, she asked for that. And we're, you know, when you go through Walmart, you're going from the food to the other end. We didn't even go by the book section. You know, we're going through and she sees something on the shelf, like where, I don't know, like summertime goods are, you know, just the junk sitting out there. And, you know, it's that purple journal with the quilt stitching on the outside, and it has the Bible verse on it. So, you know, we could have looked all day in the book section of Walmart. It wouldn't have been there. But God made it available. And it wasn't just an odd circumstance. It was a God incidence. God doing things. You know, centered in Christ helps us see everything and how God is in them. You know, how God helps you do things for Him, but He just gives a blessings too for those that are centered in Him, that seek Him, that want to be with Him. Got to have that relationship to where we're centered. Going to have an invitation in just a minute, and we're going to have communion to follow. I'm going to finish with Colossians 3 again, but verses 1 through 3. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. So again, set your heart on things above, things on Christ. You know, set your mind on things above. And see God working in the day-to-day things. You know, not just the large ones, but the ones maybe nobody else would even notice. Maybe you don't notice them sometimes. But look for those things. So as your life is now hidden with Christ and God, you know, being God-centered will reveal things to you. You'll see them in a different way. You'll experience things that He's doing that were hidden without Him. You know, people talk about being centered. The sun's centered around our solar system. And the gravitational pull keeps the orbits of the planets going around it. You know, it's set at the perfect distance from the Earth to keep us on the same orbit, to give us life and to provide for the life that it gives. If it were off-center, just not much, we wouldn't be here. It'd be too cold, too hot. It's perfect. It's right where it's supposed to be. It's the center, but it's where it's pulling us into it. You know, Jesus is the Son too. Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus needs to be the center of your life. You know, is He pulling you into Him? Or are you trying to pull away? You know, if He isn't the center of your life, then the life He wants you to have, you may not be getting. You know, He wants to give you a lot. You know, you'll miss so many blessings if you don't see Him in everyday life. Being centered in Him, things you wouldn't have noticed before. But make Jesus first. But make Jesus the center of your life, not just a part. Because He wants to bless you with so many things. And if you're centered in Him, keep Him first in every part of your life. You'll see Him working in your life. And you'll see some amazing things. And a lot of times it's those small things which get the most attention to other people. And you share. You know, there's some big things. Oh, He was cured of such and such. Oh, wow. But sometimes you get a bigger wow by you found this book on the shelf for King at Walmart. You know, they're just amazed little things that this series of events just amaze people sometimes. So be centered in Christ. Be centered in everything that He does for you. Let's pray.